Welcome, everyone. This is Board of Adjustment meeting for February the 12th, 2015. Could I have a roll call, please?
Paul?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Springer? Gallagher?
Here. The Board of Adjustment is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. It is responsibility of the board to interpret the zoning ordinance as they apply to special uses and variances. Each member has had an opportunity to go out and visit the site in question and usually comes to make a decision at the meeting. The board to approve the minutes of the meeting in December the 11th, 2014. Is there a motion to do so?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been approved and seconded to approve the minutes of the December 11th meeting. The board to review and approve the 2014 Board of Adjustment annual report. Is there any question or can I get a motion for approval?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been approved and seconded the 2014 annual Board of Adjustment report.
I think we should vote on those.
Pardon, sir?
Why don't we vote on them together, I guess.
Okay. Let's vote on that then. You want to call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. And the minutes also. I better prove
yeah.
that.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. I'm sorry.
No problem.
The next election of officers. Are there any nominations?
I guess I'd make a motion that we retain the same slate of officers that we've had in 2014.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Could I have a vote on that, Lisa?
Paul?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Thank you. Item number six, the board has three cases. Case number 15004 is a 3906 Elm Street. It's a request for a special use permit to allow an automotive salvage yard submitted by Stephanie Getch. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Site's located west of the intersection of 42nd Street and Elm. It's outlined in the yellow line, the graphic being displayed before you. This is the site of H&H Towing. It's been used for years for the storage of their towing vehicles, the wreckers, as well as bringing vehicles on site to be stored on site once they've been towed off of their respective places, such as the interstate. It's common with towing services to have numerous vehicles stored on site, such as you're seeing right here. Certainly some of these vehicles are damaged beyond repair and are in such a state that some of them never get claimed and certainly are sold off of site. What they're being asked to do is to run a salvage yard on site. The I-3 district is the most intensive zoning district within the entire city. The uses allowed in this district are the type that citizens and staff would like to see in isolated areas of the town and not on heavily traveled roadways. This is a perfect site for that. It meets all of those criteria. 2003, the Getch family was granted a special use for an automotive salvage yard in the area to the north, as you can see. This operation has been going for almost 12 years now. We haven't had a single complaint about that. And what the family is asking to do is just to join everything together, use the main building here as the main sales site. Given the zoning, the location, the history of this site, and the surrounding uses, staff does recommend approval of the special use. I believe that summarizes the request before you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? You want us to go to the podium, Stephanie, and speak in favor of this?
The only thing that's different is that the office is going to be located at H&H. In previous years, it used to be on Depot. I'm just trying to consolidate everything into one area. All the cars are still going to be held on Depot Street in that lot. I just want the office to be in the same location as H&H is because I'm taking everything over. So that's the only thing that would be different.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, does the board have questions? Does anyone have a motion?
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve case number 15004, the request for a special use permit at 3906 Elm Street.
Second.
And a motion and a second. Could I have a roll call?
Falk?
Yes.
Ballard?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Bowker?
Yes. Case number 15004 at 3906 Elm Street has been approved. Item B is case 15005 at 518 Home Street in an R2 district. It's a request for a variance to increase the allowable garage area from 720 square feet to 1,180 square feet, submitted by Jeremy Reisner. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, board members, this site is located west of the intersection of 6th Street and Holmes. Site is outlined in white in the graphic being displayed. The applicant would like to place a 30 by 30 detached garage in the rear yard. This would be a 900 square foot structure. It would not occupy more than 40% of the required rear yard, which is shown on this graphic with the yellow line. So the only issue that we have before us for a variance this evening is the combined total garage space of two structures. The two structures being the new one, which is requested this evening, the detached 30 by 30 foot garage, and then the existing 280 square foot garage. According to ordinance, we must add those together, and the combined total garage space, if approved, would be 1,180 square feet. The approximate average of the total garage spaces on the lots within this neighborhood are well under the 720 square foot. As you'll see, I had two different columns of garage spaces that I ran for each of you. The first column being these on that side of the street, and then the other on this. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong block. The first column being this, and the second column being a listing of those. So this would be, if allowed, the largest garage within the neighborhood. By code, the applicant could add up to 440 square feet of detached garage without a variance. That would be equivalent to a 22 by 20 foot detached structure, a 24 by 18, somewhere in that area. Believe that summarizes it. Staff does not identify a hardship per code, and the applicant is just seeking to have more garage space. These are smaller width streets in the original section of the city and would like to have as much off-street parking as possible. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Would you go to the podium, please, and state your name and address, please?
Jeremy Reisner. Is there allowable space you would allow? Allowable size?
I'm sorry.
Is there an allowable size that you would allow that you would be more happy with?
The total that's allowed by code is 720 square feet. That was what I mentioned before. You could add up to 440 square foot
right.
detached garage and still be within the code. So that's a structure that's like 22 by 20.
Right. Would something smaller than 30 by 30 be okay? I mean, or could I turn the existing garage into living space? Would that be all right?
Well, our decision tonight is on what you've requested.
Okay.
But if you did turn the, I may be, my question.
Absolutely,
yes. If you turn the present garage into living space, then he'd be entitled to a
720.
720 square foot structure, which is a standard
three-car garage.
It's not a difficult thing to convert it. It's simply a permanent structural change to the existing garage that does not allow vehicle storage. So it doesn't even have to be turned into living space. It could be a shop. It could be turned into storage for garden equipment, things like that.
And I think your application indicated you wanted it for storage space, so you could turn it into permanent storage space.
That is my plan, is to turn the existing garage into just storage space.
You could do that.
Really, it's not very useful for parking a car. It's pretty hard to get out. Once you've gotten in the garage, you basically have to exit the passenger side to get out. So it's really not very useful for parking a car.
Would this require vacating the driveway, removing the driveway?
We have other structures in town that they have not vacated the driveway, but the code states that you're only supposed to be parking vehicles in front of garage space, so that would be the appropriate thing to do.
So we don't park in it now. The only thing I use it for is storage.
So to be within code, can he convert a portion of the new building?
Sure.
To strictly storage space?
Sure.
Had things like that come ahead?
Any permanent structural feature that prohibits vehicle storage.
He could put a curb in there. He could put a step.
Raised curb, certainly.
Or he could simply remove the garage door and put in an access door and window or whatever he wanted to put in there and leave the rest of the structure exactly the same.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Two things here.
Yeah.
We allow up to a 720 square foot garage on what's known as a floating slab without frost-free footings.
Oh, okay.
That's 24 by 30 nominally. Are you aware that your 30 by 30 you're asking for would have to be on full frost-free footings?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm actually thinking more like I'm going to go with a 24 by 30. I really don't want to have to put in frost footings.
Right.
They just told me to go with the largest that I possibly want. Not that that's what I actually want. They said to do that just in case you want a little bit bigger, because then I wouldn't have to refile a variance. It's probably more likely going to be a 24 by 30. It'd be a 720.
Is there anything in the comprehensive new plan that will affect older areas with larger garages?
We're looking at that, Mr. Chairman.
This is a large lot, and it has a large backyard, and it would compensate what the gentleman wants to do.
Yeah.
And I know that you're comparing it to houses within, you know, the streets to the north and south of me, but I know that there are other houses within close range that do have quite substantially large garages.
I know some other garages that are larger than that, so, in the area, so they, you know, there are others.
Yeah.
If you were to convert your existing garage and build a 720 square foot garage on the property, you wouldn't have to ask for a variance.
Okay.
You could just come in and ask for a permit.
But what does he have to do to convert the existing garage, did you say? He have to not park?
We'd make that a condition of the permit.
He can't park in the front, that type of thing? He could leave the driveway?
We've allowed other people to do it.
So this is a double lot. If we were to put, if that had been developed into two homes and had two outdoor structures or detached structures, they would have been allowed to have two structures out there that were 720 square feet?
Well, this is kind of a unique area of town. None of the lots really conform to what the width is supposed to be, the square footage is supposed to be, so generically, I guess I would answer that no, because they would be two non-conforming lots. You almost have to have a double wide in this area of town to be in compliance with today's ordinances.
So The reason I'm saying that, it seems like this one stands out a little bit more than the adjacent lots, if you were to take sort of a ratio of the one to the east, it fills up a lot more of its rear yard than what this one does.
Sure, sure. These might be 40, 50 foot wide lots, and they've got two. And if you combine the two, okay, I see what you, yes.
That's kind of where I'm getting to. And then another thing I see is if he's allowed by code to build a building of a certain size, whatever, detached building, and all he had to do to be within code would be to put a raise part of the slab in there so he couldn't roll his car forward to be in, and then that building would be in conformance. He just have this much of it is garage and this much of it is raised storage. What's the point? He could put in exactly as much garage as what he can per ordinance and then do something inside that it and have the same size building. Is that correct?
Same structure with the outside walls is what you're saying.
That would look exactly the same. So it seems like an immaterial requirement to me to make somebody who could have that same exact structure, all he had to do was put some sort of barrier in there that nobody can see from the outside.
I think the original intent was to make them look like more residential structures instead of these large, I'll call them pole barns, which have, I don't know what the width of some of those doors are, but they don't look residential.
Right.
Where if you have a certain section of the structure that's a shop, and you have a man door going in that, and then the normal two-car garage, it looks more residential. And that was what the intent was.
So, and we've had those come before us before as well, where they have something that's very large with larger doors and just doesn't fit the character of the neighborhood.
You wanted to say something, Mr. Reisner?
Well, I guess I just didn't want to... I wouldn't really want to put a man door. Is that what you guys meant? Put a man door where the garage door is right now?
Not necessarily. There's numerous options.
I feel like that would look kind of odd, a garage. Everybody's going to know that it's a garage.
The existing garage, you're saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And everybody's going to know that it's a garage when you drive by. They're going to see it and they're going to say, "Well, that's a garage." But why is there a man door where the garage door is supposed to be? I'd rather look conforming,
It would be more aesthetically...
More aesthetically pleasing.
Yes, to keep it the way
it is. But what you're saying that I can do is put in a raised cement barrier?
What I'm saying is it sounds to me that per code, you can keep your existing garage exactly the way it is as a garage and add 440 square feet more of garage space in a new detached structure and be within code and then have whatever else is in that structure, the rest of the area you just designated as shop.
So do I have to
the exact same size structure, but you might have to have a partial wall or the slab is raised slightly so that you can't roll a car in there, and it's your workshop.
Okay.
So by code, it sounds to me that you could have that same size structure and maintain your same garage as long as you went through those gyrations inside the new structure. But my point is then, if the structure is going to look the same, what does it matter if you park a car where the shop area is or not?
Right.
So that's where I'm going with this.
Anything else, sir?
I don't believe so.
Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, to me, the item before us is to allow a 1,180-square-foot garage, which would be approximately 30 by 30. Any variance under that would be up to the city and up to the building department. So our question is this, to vote on. And the area, the lot is the biggest lot there, and he has plenty of backyard. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, he should be allowed to do this. But I'll wait for a motion.
Well, I have a comment before a motion is made. The one thing that I think we need to keep in mind as we go through this is we're looking at this particular circumstance, but we are always trying to be mindful of the fact that we're going forward and creating some circumstances that we have to live with ongoing. It sounds to me as though the applicant is perfectly satisfied with an alternate solution that will actually be less expensive for him than building a 30 by 30 structure with more concrete in the floor and frost footings. So I'm wondering if the applicant wants to think this through, and very honestly, you may be financially and in terms of the workability of your situation. If it were me, I'd put a window where the garage door is and make it look like an extra room on your house, get some light into whatever that storage room, put the man door on the back side of it and access it that way so that it looks like this makes your house look bigger. And then that, you know, is a little more of an asset, but that's up to you. The existing garage. Yeah. But I think if you're agreeable to, you know, a conforming garage, a 720 foot garage, that you can, as I understand correctly, free float, right?
That's correct.
So instead of using frost footings, I would think you'd have a far more economical solution than what you actually apply for here. You wouldn't need anything from this group at all.
Just need to come see me.
And all you'd have to do would be do something to make the existing garage, storage, work area.
Make it into a
anything
non-garage.
But a garage, so to speak.
Right. Yes.
And we make the permit conditional.
And then we're not in a position of establishing a new precedent. You get what you want, and you don't need a variance.
So is there a motion to this item?
Or would the applicant like to withdraw the application? Can he do that midstream?
Yeah.
Would you like
or
to
table
withdraw?
Table it until he thinks you want to. Then the other thing is you might want to table it and talk to Bill and work this out
and come back.
See us next month.
Because if we vote on it, it's an action. It's over. And if you work it out and still need a little something and bring it back, then, you know, we can act on it then.
Salvage the money you spent already. So
what's your decision, sir? You want to table it?
Okay.
What do you say?
Not vote on it.
I move that we table the item and
until next month. It's decided with the building department. Okay. Is there a
second?
There's a motion and a second. Do we have a vote on that?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Yes. Case number 15-005 at 518 Home Street has been deferred. Item C, case 15-006 at 1801 Kimberly Road. It's a C2 district. It's a request for a special use permit to allow a car wash submitted by Reed Windmiller. Reed Windmiller. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This site is located just west of Home Depot. It is the lot that's highlighted on the graphic being displayed. The applicant would like to place a car wash on this vacant lot. The new structure would be approximately 80 by 40, located towards the northern side of the lot, vehicles would approach the facility in a counterclockwise manner, entering from the east side, exiting from the west, then exiting back out onto Kimberly Road. The traffic pattern appears to be straightforward, allowing safe flow of traffic around the site and the building, plus allowing safe entrance and exits. There would be two automatic car wash bays, two manual car wash bays, and a couple of automatic cashiers islands and a couple of vacuum islands. Staff outlined the 9 points of review that are in the report. I won't outline each one of those here this evening, but I would say that staff feels that the proposal meets the 9 standards necessary for recommendation and does recommend approval of the special use permit. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And there's an affidavit of publication?
Yes, sir. There is.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Hi, I'm Reed Wimmler. I'd just like to say I think there's a need for this in this part of town. I live about a mile from the site to the west. There's nothing nearby. I think it'll be a good addition to the area. I also have some sketches of, or some renderings of the building that just got off the pencil here this afternoon, so I can show those as well if you'd like to see them.
Yes, we would, please. Thank you. Give them to John.
So this is the rendering for the Kimberly. This is the rendering for the Kimberly Road side of the building. So this would be the exit side. And you can see I have my sign on my building, and below that sign is a electronic sign to post up current information. The traffic would come on the right side of this building, right in here. Oh, can you see it with my finger, maybe? Yep, right there. And this is the entrance, I guess entrance side. So the cars would enter here, and in like that. And then that little alcove is where I'll have my vending and the entrance into the office area. Any questions?
Not at this moment, sir. Is there anyone, do you have anything else to say at this point?
No, that is it.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request?
Sorry.
Go back to the podium, please, and state your name and address.
Nicole Brandt. I'm here from Waterfront Deli, 1813 East Kimberly Road. Just a few questions about where the runoff of the water is going to be. If there's any drainage issues, since there's been nothing there for so long, I don't know what the sewer system's like. And the height of the building, wondering whether it's going to hide our building. Oh, and signage also.
Okay. I'm Mike Janicek with McClure Engineering, the engineer on the project. We have a grading plan on the other side of that sheet if you want to see it, but there's an inlet on the east side of the building that gets all the drainage from the parking lot east of the building, and there's a roof drain system installed around the building that will drain the entire rooftop directly into the storm sewer that heads out to the northeast. And then the west side, the detention is not required on the site, but the west side of the small amount that doesn't get to the roof drain system and the drainage system will drain out through the parking lot west into the driveway to Kimberly, and there's an existing inlet on Kimberly Road right in that vicinity that would pick up that water. The little bit that doesn't get to the inlets that we're adding, and we're grading around to adjust the existing inlet out there to drain that all that water. So a significant portion will go into a new roof drain system that'll go into the storm sewer system, which is an existing storm sewer system going through the parking lot, and then the rest of the water will go into an inlet in east of the building that's in existence at this time. Okay. And I think Reed would probably have to answer any sign question you have.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, ma'am.
This being a commercial development, it will be required to go through the Planning and Zoning Commission, mm-hmm. and then on to the City Council, and all of those items will be addressed through that process.
Okay.
It will be required to conform with our ordinances.
Go ahead. Mrs. Brandt, do you want to speak again, or Reed?
I think we're going to just talk amongst ourselves about it at a later date.
Okay.
And go hash out the details.
Okay.
That works for me. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Any other people? Seeing none. John, what's the setback requirement for this from Kimberly Road?
This is a C2 district. The front setback is 20 foot. There are no side yard setback requirements, but as you can see, I would estimate this to be approximately a 10-foot setback, so they are going to have a setback on the side yard. The rear, there is none required. Obviously, there is a substantial area that is going to be setback from the rear, so it meets our ordinances. By far.
What's the width of this lot? It doesn't seem that wide, but what's the actual width?
The building is
80 feet.
80 feet, so I'm estimating 100 to 120.
Will this penalize Subway anyway, as far as parking or far there?
No, it's kind of a combined shared driveway. Subway is off. It's down here.
Right. And what about the curb cut in the rear? Will that be closed, or what's going to happen with that? Because people cut through there.
Looks like there is still a curb cut here.
Yes, sir.
And again, that will go through the site plan process with Planning and Zoning and the City Council to see what their preference is.
Okay.
My guess is they're going to try to draw some traffic off of Duck Creek Plaza and would like to be able to draw some people from there to
A lot of people cut through there.
Yes.
And what about stacking in case there's several cars want to wash?
That's what I noticed about the setback from the rear yard. There's plenty of room for stacking. When we see these car washes around town,
okay,
it's very seldom that you see more than four or five that are backed up. I'm not saying that very first nice day in spring that there aren't more than that, but it's a very seldom. And all the stacking is going to take place on their own lot back in this area here.
Okay. Are there other questions?
No. Bob? No, I'm fine.
Bryce?
I'm good.
Okay. Anything else from anyone here?
Yeah, I'll just clarify a couple of those questions. There is room for about five to six cars of stacking on the right, most northern wash, and there's about three or four on the southern auto wash. The manual washes, people don't generally hang around in those too long stacking wise. They'll wait one car deep usually. With people of today, they don't wait for more than three or four cars for a car wash and the automatics. So I don't need a whole lot of room. I have more than adequate room for what the normal amount of waiting time is for today.
Okay. Thank you.
Here's a graphic that shows some of the stacking available behind.
Plus the side entryway.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's 183 feet to the back.
Yeah.
And 109.
Oh, there you go.
Almost 110, I see. Okay. We didn't know.
I said 120 and 110.
Yeah, we didn't know what it was.
I question, when you look at... Too, those numbers are basically correct. I got another flag if you want to see it. It's really showing that same thing you've already seen there.
Okay. When you look at what we got, it's just to look kind of... Or look, well, look what's there. It's, it looks kind of small. But this explains a lot here. Is there a motion or discussion?
I move we approve case number 15-006 at 1801 Kimberly Road.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
The motion and the second. Would you call a roll?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Yes. Item 15-006 at 1801 Kimberly Road, a C2 district, has been approved. Anything else, John?
Nothing else. Thank you very much.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
We'll adjourn.
Nice job.
I'd say see you all next.